How many need to Lord tonight? Woo! He's worth chasing that. He's worth praising that. He's worth sacrificing that. He's worth giving up. He's worth doing without. The God we serve today, He's worthy of our praise. Amen. So many times in life, we chase after so many other things. Isn't it good to be chasing after the Lord? If everybody would purpose their mind, then they're going to purpose their mind to chase after God and stop chasing after the men, stop chasing after the women, stop chasing after the bottle, stop chasing after the drug, stop chasing after all the money, stop chasing after all these material things. Woo, and just set our mind on the Lord. Woo, we're here to be revived tonight. Amen, amen, amen. I'm thankful again tonight. Thankful also, I think Bishop Smith and Pastor Smith come in. God bless you. I'm thankful to all of you that came out on tonight. I'm going to go right into our scriptures. I have a couple scriptures. Just bear with me for a minute. And if you could just stand for a minute. I'm going to read these scriptures just so when I'm giving you the word, you know I'm coming from the word. Book of Psalms is where we'll be coming from. But I first want to read Psalms 51, 10 and 12a. And it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit with me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. A plea for cleansing. Psalm 69, 32, part B says, ye who seek God, let your hearts revive. That's personal. Then Psalms 139, 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Yes, yes, amen. Amen. I'm going to be coming tonight from Psalms 85, 6 through 9, but mainly verse 6. And there's a question being asked here. And it says, will you not revive us again? Reason, that your people may rejoice in you. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Then in verse, it says, let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. May the Lord continue to add a blessing to his already blessed word. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're talking about revival, what a revival is, who needs reviving. A revival is bringing something back. I'm going to give you a definition in a minute, but I'm just trying to explain what I'm going to talk about tonight. It means something maybe dead, near dead, something that needs to be resurrected, something needs to live again. So, what I'm asking the Lord tonight is to do it again. I talked to the Lord personally, and I said, Lord, I want to live again. And I'm interceding on your behalf to the Lord. Lord, let him live again. Do it again. Do it again, Lord. Amen. Revival. A revival is to live again. It's to live life again. It's when one has almost expired or almost dead. You know, you get resurrected and you be brought back to life. It's to bring something or to cause something to live. And this is what I'm asking God tonight. I'm asking God to cause us to have a desire to live again. Because we do know that a revival is for those that are saved. Those that are not saved have to be regenerated. But the revival is for the saved. So we're asking God to plant a seed, to purpose our thoughts, our minds, and our hearts, that we may live again. Now on the program I said R3, R to the third power. Renew, restore, revive. Renew means replacing or repairing something that has been worn out. Something that's been run down or something that's broken. It's a state of being made new. It's to make something strong again. When something is weak and we renew it, it becomes strong again. Restore. Restore is to bring back. It's to reinstate. It's to return to a formal position. It's an overhaul. It's a fix. And it's to reconstruct. Amen. So we're asking God tonight to do an overhaul on us.
All right.
We're asking God tonight, all those dead areas, to bring them back alive again. I don't know about you, but sometimes during this life, you ever just get tired of trying to be a Christian? Sometimes it takes a lot out of us, or we may like it takes so much for us to live right. It takes so much for us to do right. It takes so much for us to think right. So sometimes we just get tired. We say, well, it's a lot of work. Because see, it's not something that we can just say. This life that we live is a life that requires work. And sometimes on the journey, we get tired. And sometimes we get worn out. We get worn out with our activities that we do every day, and we get worn out in the church. I hear all the time pastors and bishops talking about the different things they ask the church to go to, and nobody want to go. Everybody tired. Nobody feel like moving. Nobody feel like doing nothing. They just want to come to church, sit down, hear a message, get up, go home. So sometimes those things can take a hold on you. Maybe nobody here has never felt like that, but you ever felt like sometimes that you're just going through the motions, that you're just doing something that you know that you're supposed to do because you know it's the thing to do right, but your motive is really not there. You're just moving automatically and there's no purpose behind it, not really enjoying what you're doing. Sometimes, y'all, we just go through the motions, and especially when we're in church. Some of us just go through the motions. We get up, the music playing, and we just dancing to the beat and everything, and we're not thinking about what the words of this song is really saying. We're just going through the motion of praise and worship, but we're not doing no praising and no worshiping. We just dancing to the music. Sometimes we all get like that. Sometimes our lives get empty. We feel that we're running low spiritually. Or sometimes we feel like we have more heaviness, more sorrow in our life than we have joy. If this is the way any of you feel tonight, then it is time for a revival. God wants us to receive him in a new and a different way. We said that we were going to experience God in a greater way. So that means I'm going to experience God in a way greater than what I experienced him before. So if the first time you fell in love with Jesus was just that good, imagine what it is when the Lord revives our spirit and we fall in love all over again. But we do it in a greater way because we have a greater passion for the Lord. God wants to do something more in our lives. And today, you all, he's calling us to go deeper. He's calling us to go deeper into his word. He's calling us to go deeper into our prayer life. He's calling us to go deeper into our hearts and bring out those things that need to come out that been hindering us from doing that we've been called to do. God wants a more intimate relationship with us. And all it is that he wants to be more into us. But he can't be into us when we're full of junk.
Come on now.
When we're full of so much stuff, ain't no way God can be intimate. He can't be intimate if I'm full of me. All right. Amen. All right. Amen. 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 Revivals are to bring about convictions. We're to be convicted and pricked in our heart. so that the Lord can revive us again. There's prerequisites to a revival. There's things that we have to prepare for in order for the Lord to do it again. Because see, when he did it for us that first time, when we first received Christ, we had so much joy in us. We had so much zeal. I mean, you can run. You was at every Bible study. You was there at Sunday school. You was at the church. The pastor said, come on, we going to another church. When we ready, we bring our food with us to eat at church. And we going to another church. We coming out during the week for service. Then something happens. All of that stops. It all stops. God is calling us back unto him. And I believe that he wants us to seek him in a way that you've never sought him before. See, I don't know what all you did when you were seeking God. I know you didn't stumble up on him and fall. We can't just stumble and fall upon him. You had to be seeking him because you felt something was missing from your life. You had to be seeking him because you had an emptiness inside it. No matter what you did, no matter where you went, who you talked to, it just could not fill that void. And it was because you didn't even realize at the time that the void couldn't be filled by nothing but God's Holy Spirit. So when God's Holy Spirit filled you, it made you run on. It made you run, jump, skip, holler. It made us do some of everything. And God wants to restore us back. But he has to put us through some things in order for us to get back. When we seek God in the way of holiness and humility and repentance, these are some ways we don't want to seek God in. We don't want to repent because we haven't done nothing wrong. We don't want to seek holiness because we want to keep living the way we're living because it feels good. We don't want to seek God in humility. Who wants to be humble? Who wants to humble themselves? Because we figure when we humble ourselves, I'm going to put myself in a position for somebody to just step on. We got to seek God in that way. And y'all, one of the big things too we got to seek God in is obedience. Nobody today wants to do what nobody say. We're supposed to obey those that have rule and authority over us. But we look up there and we say, not today. Not today. No, I feel like that today. That's not today. And we say no to the pastor. But see, that's not to the pastor. We're saying no to God. Our obedience is unto God. It's not unto man. It's unto God.
A
life of holiness is not because the pastor says we have to live a certain way. It's because God says that he has a standard for us. We have to live in a clear conscience. We don't want a clear conscience because we like the way we feel about folks. They did so much to us that we don't want to put that aside. We want to keep that near the front. So every time we go and do good, our conscience will remind us of what that person did or what that person said. God wants us to have a clear conscience. In seeking God differently, we got to seek God with a forgiving heart. And that's something that each and every one of us sometimes, we find it so hard to forgive. As many times as we fall short and we fall down and we go to God and God forgives us, we find it so hard to forgive someone else. Why is that? Why is that that we think we're more deserving of God's forgiveness than this person? The God we serve, he's no respecter of person. It's not about who you are. It's not about what you have, where you come from. God loves each of us equally and the same. So if we're seeking a better relationship with him, then we have to have a heart like he is. And in his heart is forgiveness. Forgive those that have said things against you. Forgive them. Forgive them. You can't move, y'all, when we carry all of this stuff on us. It's dead weight. Just dead weight. and you all down, you're not forgiving nobody, you're not thinking about nobody but yourself, your spirit is dead.
Yeah. Come on, say a word. Say a word.
Sexual purity. Oh, we can't talk about that. We have a lot of things that we can't talk about. God wants us to be pure. Fornication, adultery, lesbian, homosexuality. God has a set of standard. He said in his word what it is for us. I'm not saying that I have to not love you. But I'm just saying what God said in his word, that we have to seek for sexual purity. See, I can't tell you one or two things without telling you everything. And we got a bunch of liars. We got some people that lie so much and they think they're telling the truth. How are we going to be revived when we got a lying heart? We got a lying tongue so long and so dark to it's terrible.
Come on now.
We got to seek God with a pure heart and with pure motives. Amen. God wants to reveal himself to us. He wants our hearts to be full, but he wants our hearts to be full of him. He wants us to experience joy. He wants us to receive the blessings that we find in him. But we have to have room for him. So we ask the Lord tonight, Lord, do it again. Lord, make room again. Make room in my mind. Make room in my heart, God, for you. Because if the mind is full, the heart is full. Because see, what you're thinking is what's in your heart. And what's in your heart is what's going to come up out of your mouth. And that's what we're going to do in our hands and purpose our behavior on. God wants a personal relationship with us. Not only us, but our families. And you all, revival is not just for us. We want our families to be revived. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I want my children revived. Amen. All of us have children that we brought up and we raised in the church. And they're nowhere near the church. Some in the church, some not in the church. But we brought them up and we taught them in the way of the Lord. So we want our children to be revived. See, this here life and this revival, y'all, it's not just about us. It's not just about us. Oh, it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. It's about those that's coming along with you and those that's coming on behind you, because we're not always going to be here. And we want to live our life in such a way that our children know how to seek the Lord with all their hearts and with all their minds and with all their strength. Our children know that when they're running low, I need God to revive me. They don't have to run around and ask somebody, what's going on with me? You know what's going on with you. We're so quick to do it, y'all, and we know we just didn't sin. We want to run and we want to ask, what do you think is happening? Check yourself out.
All right.
Look at yourself. Look and see what we're doing. Look and see how we're living our life. And we'll find our answer. Revival is not something that's put on the calendar. Revival is not a time of emotionalism. So I don't know who's going to get emotional tonight, but that's not time. It's not time for that. That's not what revival is about. It's not about that. The word revival literally means to bring back alive. And I don't know about you, but I want to live again. I have not been living my life the fullest, but I want to live again. I want everything God has for me, and I want you to have everything God has for you. I want you to live your life to the fullest. I want you to have that that God has, because he has something for all of us. We have to want it. And when we say, Lord, do it again, we have to know exactly what we're saying. Because when God begins to work in our lives, he's not going to do it the way we want him to do it. He's going to do it his way. Is anything too hard for God? When I think about revival, you ever think about some of the things that you've done? Some situations you find yourself in? I don't know if anybody's been sick and just didn't think you were going to make it. The doctors had one report. Everybody come in and they got their own report. I don't know if anybody's been sick. And the Lord just came on in. You just needed the Lord to just do something in your life. But sometimes y'all with our children, maybe your home is perfect. Maybe all your children are perfect. Mine isn't. But I don't give up because I can't give up on God. All I have to do is continue to trust Him because He will hear and He will answer our prayer. When I think about the mighty God we serve, y'all, it ought to make us say that there's nothing too hard. I thought about in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. I thought about how He just spoke a word and everything that came into being, it came into being. If God can speak a word then, God can speak a word now. Yeah. I thought about the children of Israel when they had trouble all around them, when they had Pharaoh's king all behind them, and they got there to the Red Sea. And they didn't know what they were going to do. Some of us, when we get right here to the Red Sea, we don't know what we're going to do. We're ready to back up because we can't trust God to clear the way. But I'm thinking about the mighty God we serve. I see y'all, if we want a revival, we got to realize how mighty and how good God is. And I'm just looking at, they said that the water, it just rose up on both sides. And then it says that they walked through and that their feet didn't get wet. They walked through the wilderness for 40 years. They ain't had nobody making them no shoes. What a mighty God we serve. Yeah. If you ever been right there at the sea, right there you just needed a breakthrough. Yeah. You ever been going through so much turmoil in your life and so much on your job and with your children and look like you just couldn't get no relief nowhere. And you said, Lord, I just need you to part this sea. Yeah. I just need you to open it. And then you walked on through. I want God to do that in my life. I want God to do that for you in your life. Because see, I need you to know that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is too hard for God. Jericho, when they were walking around, God gave them the battle plan. And when they did what God had told them to do, how when they got through walking around, then when they were done, the trumpet sound, the walls came down. Yeah. I want the walls to come down. Yeah. We got to pray and ask God for the battle plan for our lives. Not for our plan, but for His plan. Because He has the right plan. And everything is going to fall the way it's supposed to fall when we do it God's way. Right. We need a revival. Because we've drifted so far away spiritually. When we look around today in the communities, we hear the news. Everything that's on TV, everything that's going on. We can see how far we've drifted away from God. Yeah. Revival is for those that have drifted away from God spiritually. Amen. Even in the condition of the world today, God is able. Yes, to do it again. Yes. God is able to do it again. We can be restored. You can be renewed. You can be revived. But you first must do it God's way. And that's what I want to tell you tonight. In the scripture, at 85, Psalms 85, 1, 2, and 3, they were crying out. The psalm where he was crying out from his heart unto God. Sometimes, y'all, when we try to reach God, we can't just be quiet. We have to cry out from our heart, from the depths of our heart. We have to feel it all in our belly, and we have to cry out unto God so that God can hear us. And we have to humble ourselves before Almighty God so that the Lord can hear, and He can do that we're asking Him to do. But the condition is, we first must come to confession. Confession, I guess that's just like trying to forgive. Nobody don't want to confess because we don't feel we did nothing.
Right, amen.
We don't feel we have to come to God and confess something because we ain't did nothing. But if we haven't done something, why are we so far from God? Why is it that we can't feel him like we used to feel him?
All right.
Why is it we don't feel his presence? Why is it we can't see him moving in our lives? When we get to that point where we can't see God and we can't feel God, y'all, it's something that we need to confess unto God. We need to open up our hearts to God, and confession must come. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We need God's Spirit to just pour all into our lives.
Yeah.
And then what we have to do when we confess, and this is important, don't confess one sin. Confess all your sins. We have some sins from way back, and we know they're there. But do you know that those sins that you don't confess, they stop you from your breakthrough? They stop you from being revived. They stop you from being renewed. They stop you from being restored. Because they're present. But we keep them hidden in our hearts. And we think nobody knows about them but us, so we hide them. We got to confess all our sins, those we know and those that we don't know. And we got to put away doubt. We seem to be people today to be people of doubt. We doubt everything. Because it's something we don't understand, we doubt the validity of it.
Right now.
Ooh, I'm touching on stuff right now. I'm telling you. Until the Lord did a work in my life, I would look at people when other ministers are laying hands on them, when they were falling and they were being healed, I didn't believe that. I doubted that. I didn't believe that. I wasn't brought up. I wasn't taught that. And I kept seeing it. I kept coming around with it. And I started looking. And I'm seeing God work. You go places and you see it work. And then when God can do it to you, God made a believer out of me. He made a believer out of me. He taught me to stop doubting him. Because he gave those power and authority. He gave them power to lay hands. He's giving it to all of us to lay hands on the sick. And he said, lay hands on them and they shall be healed.
Yeah.
Y'all, we got people coming to the church day in, day out, and they going back home the same way. They carrying all these demons right back home with them. Because we don't want to address it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm experiencing God in a greater level. And I'm telling you, you better learn to experience God greater than what you ever had. You better stop doubting God and start believing God. Listen to the testimonies of the saints. God is real. His ministry is real. The psalmist said, ye who seek God, let your hearts revive. If you seek him with all your heart, you can be assured that he will restore, renew, and revive you. The condition of the people of God today is no different from the nation of Israel. In many ways, we're the same way. They have forsaken God, replaced him with idols. We forsake him today, and we replaced him with idols. We put everything before God. Our money, our car, our home, our jobs, our clothes, casinos, the lottery. We put everything before God because they keep God's money before God get it. We're no different. We're no different from the children of Israel. We've done the same thing. But what God wants us to do is to return to our former love. Return to our first love. We got to return to our former lifestyle of righteousness, because we don't live in a lifestyle of righteousness today. We just look at whatever's going is right. If I like it, then it's right. We have no consideration or respect for the word of God and what he says is right and righteous. We have our own way of thinking. And we wonder why we don't feel God moving in our life, why we can't feel his Holy Spirit, why we have the doubts we have about how great God is, what God can and what God cannot do. If there's anything, no, because God can do anything and everything. We serve an almighty God. But these are reasons that keep us separated from God. We've got to return to our first love. And what we've got to do also, we've got to truly grieve over our sins. I know it's, oh, she's talking about sin. We can't just say we're sorry. Even when we're praying, we've got to grieve over our sin. That means we have to be sorrowful for our sin. We have to regret that we're doing. We say, well, I said I'm sorry. Well, that's all you did was say it. You didn't mean it because you're doing the same thing the other day. When we truly get sorrowful over our sins, then we can move further in the Lord. We've got to get personal with God and with ourselves. Psalms 139, 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Ask God to prepare your heart, because that's what we have to do here tonight. If we want to be revived, if we want to be restored, if we want a renewing of our mind, then we have to ask God to prepare our heart. See, just like we get prepared for anything that we do, we got to get ready to go to work. We got to get food chopped up and stuff before we can cook it. We have to get prepared for revival.
Yeah.
Revival is just not going to come because you think it should. There's something that we have to prepare for, and we ask God to prepare us for it, God. God, what's in my heart? What is it that's there, God, that's not becoming of you, God? What is it that I need to let go of? Because we got a lot of pain, and we got a lot of hurt, and we got a lot of discouragement. We got a whole lot that we're holding on in our heart that we need to let go of, y'all. We just can't keep holding on to all these things and expect God to do a revival. There is no room in your mind. There's no room in your heart. Where is he going to work? What is he going to do? Lord, do it again. Sometimes I just think God is saying, give me something to work with. What are you going to work with? If we're so full of ourselves and so full of this stuff here. Lord, do it again. We got to ask God to come into our heart and ask God to humble us. And ask God to give us a pure heart. One that is willing to live for God. One that is willing to confess God. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Search me, O God. Is my conscience clear? Do you ever say that? Do you ever ask God, is my conscience clear? Do I have things, God, that I have not admitted that I'm holding on to that's keeping me from my relationship with you?
Yeah.
We hold on to a lot of things that keeps us from God. And those things become barriers. They're obstacles. They get in the way. It's like blinders that we can't see God. And then we say, Lord, do it again. Well, yes, we want God to do it again. We want us to restore our lives, but we first got to do something. We first got to repent. We got to go to God in confession, and we have to repent, and we have to open up our heart. We have to be sorrowful for what we're doing, because God can't move unless you move. The God we serve is not a God that's going to push his way. You got to open the door and let him come in. If you don't open the door, he can't come in. So if he can't come in, there can be no revival. There can be no restoration. There can be no renewal. Because you have your door shut.
Amen. That's right.
What God wants us to do is he wants us to love what he loves. He wants us to hate what he hates.
All right.
In your life, is there any evidence of the fruit of the Spirit? Loving kindness. Long suffering.
Yeah,
gentleness, meekness. Are there any evidence the fruit of the Spirit in your life. What are you producing? Do you ever look at what you're producing? By the way we're living our life, what are we producing? All we have to do is look around those that's eating what we're giving. If we're feeding somebody, they're eating off what we're giving them. And we're giving them what's in us. We have to make sure that the fruit of the Spirit is in us. We have to make sure that God's love is in us. Because we can't give somebody something that's not in us. The children of Israel wanted to recover from that condition that they were in. How many tonight want to recover from the condition that you're in? Sometimes people are satisfied with where they are. It's okay with them that they don't have. But the God we serve is not a God that wants us not to have. He's a God that prospers us in every way. We don't have to stay in the physical condition of sickness that we're in. We don't have to stay in that because God has given us a way. If we're not satisfied with the condition that we're in, then we have to be ready to do something else. We have to ask the Lord to prepare us. We have to ask the Lord to revive us again. Lord, bring me back to life. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get tired. When I was doing things that I wasn't supposed to be doing, I got tired. And I'm telling you, when you've done something enough, till you got tired enough, you will make a change. I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you when or how to do it. All I can do is give you God's word on what he said. All I can do is to tell you in his word that he said, this is how we do it. If we want a relationship with him, if we want to be revived, these are requirements that have to be met. And then we have to ask God to just redo it again. If we want to recover from the situation we're in, y'all, we got to start doing something different. If we keep doing things the same way we've been doing them, and we're doing the same things we've been doing, we're going to get the same thing that we had. We're never going to get anything different until we do something else different. And then doing something else different, this is the part that you all want to do, that requires a change in your mind. You have to change the way you're thinking. We can't think about God the same old way. We can't look at the glass and see it half empty. We got to see it half full. We got to stop looking and seeing the negative, and we got to see the positive. And then we got to input, pastors, we got to input positive into the congregation. We've got to give them a positive word. We've got to let them know that the God we serve is good. We got to let them know the God we serve, he is able. He can and he will prosper you. But I still have to tell you that the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Then you have to think and see, do I want to be revived? Some people think that changing the way they think, they'd rather soon sit there and die. We got some people that resist change. They just don't want to change. Everything changes except for God. Everything changes. The time changes. Everything changes. We've got to be people that can change our mind to the mind of God. If we want to be restored, if we want to be renewed, if we want to be revived, then we have to have a changed mind. And I just want to end tonight with, I was reading the scripture with Hosea when he says that it's time to seek the Lord. He said, but you must first break your fallow ground. He says, seek the Lord until he rains righteousness on you. Now, fallow ground is ground that had once been cleared. And course of time, life, different things has gone on. And a lot of things have just fallen on top of that. You know, just on top of that ground. You know, everything, discouragement, disappointment, loss of job, divorce, all these things. They fall on top of this ground here. And this happens in the course of our life. and then the ground gets hard. Now, in order for us to be revived, there has to be a tilling of the ground. And what we do, we take an instrument. I'm no farmer, but I read it, and it says you take an instrument, a strong instrument, and you dig down into the soil. And what we have to do is that we have to turn over all that stuff that's on top. All of that garbage that's been following us all these years. All of that pain that we feel we got to keep holding on to. All of that guilt, misfortune, disappointment. We've got to turn that over, because underneath here, is what we're trying to get back to.
That's right, amen.
And so sometimes with some of us, we've been at it long, and it takes much digging with sharper tools. But we still got to dig, and what we got to do, we have to turn over that soil. All of this that's been going on in our life, y'all, we got to turn it over. We got to dig through it, and we got to bring back that soil that's underneath. Because that's where we first fell in love. That underneath is the love that we once had. It's the joy that we've all experienced. It's forgiveness for everybody. It's taking care of your neighbors. It's being obedient, being submissive. All of that is in us. But through the course of time, it's just been buried. It's time now, y'all, to turn over that ground. We gotta turn it over. Turn it over to the new soul. Get rid of all of this. Bury. He's got to bury. We can't keep that on the surface. We've got to just get rid of it. Because God cannot plant revival. God cannot give you your blessings if the seed can't grow. If you want to plant seed in the soil has to be prepared. You cannot put a seed in hard, dry, brittle soil and expect to get something good. So you got to turn it over. And then till it. It's a process. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying tonight is a process. And we have to go through the process, y'all. Revival is a process. Bringing us back to where we once were. That's a process. It's not something that happens overnight. We all had pain that it didn't just come. We've been disappointed at home, in our personal lives, in our marriages, in our churches. Everywhere we go, sometimes we look and it's disappointment. It's discouragement. God wants to revive you. He wants to bring you back. He wants you to live again. Not live by yourself, but He wants you to live with Him. Wouldn't it be nice to just feel God's presence? Every day that I can just walk in and I can feel the presence of the Lord with me. And I turn and I know He's not just behind me, but He's all around me. Isn't it good that you can just close your eyes and you can just think of heaven? You can just think about God and all His mighty acts, all His wondrous deeds, and how it just makes you feel. That feeling that we have is the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I just want to be brought back. I want to live a life that's pleasing to God.
Yes.
All right. I'm asking you here tonight. Yes. We all came here for a reason, whether we admit it or not. We all need something. We need something from God. None of us have it all. None of us have it right. None of us are all right. Some think they are, but they're not. We all fall short of God's glory. We all have been hurt. But you don't have to stay. You don't have to stay in that condition. That's what this revival is all about. The pain and hurt. I don't know how God's leading you. But I do know He wouldn't have put it in your spirit if you didn't feel a need in the church. A pastor after God's own heart knows the heart of his parishioners. He knows what they stand in the need of, because he walks with them. and he talks with him. A pastor that calls a revival that talks to God and hears a revival, he's one that knows, that spends his time, and I know you have to spend time on your knees. You have to spend plenty of time on your knees praying to God. Not for yourself. Pray for yourself. But I'm talking about praying for the people of the church. We got some people that don't care about nobody in the church. All they care about is the dollar bill. It's time out for all of that. The days are getting short. And we need to be revived. Pastor, a church revival can begin to a personal revival. Begin. Because if the people in the church are not revived, there ain't gonna be no church revival. So revival has to be personal. And that's what I'm saying tonight. Make it personal. Make it personal. If it's something you need God for, ask. He said, ask and it shall be given. The reason we don't have today, y'all, is because we don't ask. He said, seek and ye shall find. What we seeking? We seeking the kingdom of God. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then those things you ask will be added. He said, knock and the door shall be open. Okay, how many times you have knocked, you keep knocking because the door will be open. He'll open a door that keeps being closed and closed and closed in your face. But he said, knock and he'll answer. He didn't tell you how long we were going to have to knock. But if you take him at his word, you believe what he said, you just keep knocking. And you seek him with all you have. God is able. He's able to lift up a bowed down head. Have not because we ask not. I'm just going to ask tonight if I gave you also, there was some prayer requests. If there's anybody tonight that has a special prayer, if you want to fill it out, and we can put it in the prayer box for a revival. But let me tell you something. I'm expecting something from God. I'm expecting God to do something supernatural. I'm expecting God to show up in all of our lives in a way that he never has before. And the reason I'm expecting God to do that, because we're going to see God like we've never saw God before. Seek it with your whole heart, y'all. Seek it with your whole mind, y'all. Seek God with all you are. And don't ever give up. Don't ever quit. Revival restores us. You got a marriage that's broken. Woo! God can fix it. You got kids that are strayed. Woo! God can fix it. You feel you all alone and you're by yourself and your back is just up against the wall and you just don't know what to do. You got stuff all around you. Everybody and everything that can come at you is coming at you. Y'all, that's what I do. I'm best fighting. Because the war ain't come at you. I'm just saying tonight, if you would just humble yourself down before God and pray honestly and sincerely. And it's like he'll kick you. He'll give you that you need. And you can come over that wall. We can walk through it. The hardest thing. And our shoes won't be with y'all. Woo! God is good. He is good. He is good. He is good. He is good. God is good. He is good. He is good. And he can do it. Is there anything too hard for God? No. I just want you to say, I went to the doctor, y'all. The doctor feeling the lumps in my leg. They took x-rays and he sees the lumps in my leg. So he telling me, you gotta get some tests. You gotta go get a biopsy. Because he said you got two tumors there. And you gotta get that taken care of. He said it's cancer right in your family. I said we don't have a lot in hand. But let me tell you, y'all.
God, that's the greatest doctor that ever lived. We serve God.
that can raise up dead spirits. We serve a God that can bring healing to the land. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, we just thank you tonight. We just thank you and we praise you, God. God, we praise you because you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy of all the glory, God. You're worthy of all the honor, God. We praise you tonight because we love you, God. We praise you tonight, God, because we just thank you. We thank you, God. Lord, I'm just going to thank you in advance, God. I don't know what the needs are. Amen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We were hearing about that accident that happened on I-96. And about the man that got turned over. And then there was a woman involved. And the woman involved was Pastor Martinez Garden. It was the pastor, Libby Temple's his wife. God is able. God is able. He is able. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, we come right now. Lord, just praying. Just thanking you, God. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, God. Lord, we thank you for your loving kindness, God. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done, God. Lord, we know that you are not the devil of the patient, God. Lord, we just thank you for taking care of your daughter, God. Lord, we thank you for raising her up, God. Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for just a few bumps and bruises that you got, God. Lord, we just giving you praise tonight, God. We praise in your holy name, God, because you brought her back, God. Lord, she's still here, God. She's still here, God. You're still doing it again, God. Over and over and over, God. You're still doing it again. We thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this man, God. We ask in the name of Jesus, God, touch him. Touch him, God. Heal him, God. From the top of his head, God, to the sole of his feet, God. God, if there be anything that you find, God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, just remove it, God. Remove it, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just believe it to be so, God. Bless him, God. Bless his health, God. Bless his wife, health, God. Bless him in his church, God. Lord, the place that you placed him over, God. Strengthen him in the name of Jesus. Uphold him in the name of Jesus, Lord. Focus his mind in the name of